Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the communist story. Well, some years ago, I was invited to Salt Lake City to speak to a group of people at the local Ford dealer on South State Street. The Ford dealer, a Mormon, had invited me from our school at in Boise, it was called Barrister's Inn, to speak to a group of patriots down there. And there was probably a couple of hundred in attendance. They'd cleared off the showroom floor. And it was a pretty good-sized showroom, packed with people, standing room only. I didn't count all the people there, but it was a bunch. And the Ford dealer was sitting in the front row with his five children and his wife, right in front of the podium, and I began by asking the question, "Are you a practicing communist?" And nobody raised their hands. And I looked around and I said, well, thank God that I'm among friends. Because I'm from a far, far land called Idaho. And in Idaho, there are many, many of these communists that practice this foreign and alien ideology, which is foreign to our Constitution. It's foreign to our way of life. It's foreign to our governmental operation. And I'm happy to know that here in Utah, I'm among friends, people who practice the Constitution, who practice and live by our laws and statutes and the philosophies of the America of our founding fathers. And with that, I said, let me give you an illustration. Where I'm from in Idaho, we have a public school system. And we are compelled by law to send our children to this public school system. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Let me read it to you. And I turned to the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, and I read it to the audience. It says, free education for all children in public schools, and the abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, and the combination of education with industrial production. I said, I cannot tell you how pleased I am to speak to a group of people, patriots, constitutionalists here in Utah, who do not practice this 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. And I said, let me tell you another part of the story. We have in our state a central bank. I know it's called the Bank of Idaho, and they're affiliated with the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, headquartered in Washington, D.C., which was chartered in 1913 here in the United States. Well, the people of Idaho put their money in these branch banks like Bank of Idaho and Idaho First Security Trust Corporation and so on. This fifth plank calls for the centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. And the people of Idaho have credit cards, checking accounts, savings accounts, and they use pieces of paper called Federal Reserve notes. Here. Let me show you what one of these looks like. So I reached in my shirt pocket and I pulled out a $20 bill and I said, here's Andrew Jackson's portrait on the face of it. the one president of the United States that closed the United States National Bank in 1836 by refusing to sign the legislation proposed for a new charter. The one man who was opposed to paper currency, they have usurped his image and put it on one of these Federal Reserve notes. What a slap in the face to Andrew Jackson. But I said, it is so good to be in a state, in a country, among people who do not practice this loathsome fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, using credit cards and Federal Reserve notes and mortgages and other pieces of commercial paper. When I finished this second plank, I could see that my host, the Ford dealer, was visibly uncomfortable, sitting in the front row with his wife and five children. I didn't know that I had offended him, so I went on to the second plank. And I said, you're not going to believe this, but in addition to these two planks, the fifth and the tenth, the second plank calls for a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. This was written, by the way, by an international communist, a German fellow, a Jewish fellow by the name of Karl Marx. Now, in our state, we have both a state income tax and we have a federal income tax. And I said, we all practice it up in Idaho, and it is so good to be here in Utah, where the people of Utah follow the tithing law of God that we see in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, rather than this second plank to the Communist Manifesto. It was at about this point that the Ford dealer got up with his wife and his five children, and they left the room. They left the showroom floor. I thought maybe he had to go to the bathroom and that he might have gone out to get coffee or donuts or something. I wasn't quite sure. But for the rest of the evening, he never came back. He didn't come back, his wife didn't come back, his children didn't come back. In all the years that I've been doing this, this is the first time that I've ever had my host get up and walk out. But he did. And I thought, right about that moment in time, I wonder if I have offended this man. Then I went on to the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which is right above the second, and I said, it calls for the abolition of property and land and the application of all rent of land to public purposes. And I pointed out to the audience that in Idaho, that's precisely what we practice, that we have a property tax in Idaho, and that the people of the state don't own their land. And if they want to build something on their land, they have to go to the state to get permission to build something on their land. They have to have building permits and zoning and planning approval. And they have to pay a rent called a property tax on this land. And if they don't pay it, they'll take it away from them and give it to somebody else who will pay that tax, who will pay that rent. And I pointed out what a pleasure it was to be in Utah, where they didn't have a property tax, zoning and planning, building permits, and the people were free to use their land as they saw fit. Then I went on to the third plank to the Communist Manifesto, and I said it calls for the abolition of all right of inheritance. This abolition of the right of inheritance is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because in Idaho we have an inheritance tax. And when we die, the state comes in and they take about one-third. They take 30 to 35% of the estate. It's called an inheritance tax. It is good to know that you people here in Utah don't practice this inheritance tax, and that you practice the inheritance law of the law of Moses, that you obey God and keep his commandments. I said, in Idaho, the fourth plank calls for the confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. And I pointed out to them that we had regional government and absolute federal control over all of our property, both public and private. and that the IRS would come in and arrest people, take their property, seize their property, and jail these people, that the confiscation of property was a part and parcel with this fourth plank, and it was implemented in Idaho. And I again pointed out to the people what a pleasure it was to be in a state among people who did not practice that loathsome practice. Then I went on to the sixth plank, and I said, it calls for the centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. And then I explained to the people there in Utah how in Idaho we had way stations along the road where our trucks had to stop, enter, clear, and pay duties in the ports of entry, and that we had centralization of the means of communication and transport, in that all of the means of communication, television, telephone, radio, had to be licensed, and that you had to have permits to use the airwaves. I said, I know it's a shock to you people down here in Utah, where you have free use of your airwaves and you have free use of your highways, but we don't have that in Idaho, where I'm from. I went on to the seventh plank to the Communist Manifesto, and I read this. I said, it calls for the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, and the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. And I pointed out that this extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state are called corporation, and the bringing into cultivation of wastelands is called the Desert Land Entry Act, and that the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan are called soil conservation districts. And I said, you people have probably never heard of corporations or Desert Land Entry Act or soil conservation districts down here in Utah. But let me tell you, that's the seventh plank to the Communist Manifesto. Then I went on to the eighth plank, which calls for the equal liability of all to labor and the establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. And I pointed out that we call that Social Security, of which there's 108 benefits under the Social Security Act imposed upon us, which takes about 16% of everything we create and produce, and leaves us open to the income tax, which is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and that between the two of them, the minimum tax at 17 and 16% was 32% of everything we create and produce, about a third. I said, you don't know how blessed you are to be in a land without this Social Security and income tax. Then I said, finally, we have the ninth plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, with the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. And I explained it this way. I said, back in 1922, here in the United States, the population was divided up. About 45% lived on the land, and about 55% lived in the cities and small towns. And that today, in Idaho, we have gotten to the point where only 3% of the people live on the land, and 97% of the people have been locked up in the cities. And so what we have accomplished here with these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, we have divorced ourselves from the land, and now we're locked up in our cities. It is so good to know that you people down here are out on the land, individualists, people who own property. We in Idaho don't own property. Well, when I concluded, the audience, and some of them were laughing a little bit, some of them were squirming a little bit, and I said, now, let me ask you again, how many of you here are practicing communists? And virtually everybody in the audience raised his hand. Now, it takes about 15 minutes or so, you know, to go through these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, but the 10 planks have replaced our 10 commandments. You see, boys and girls, long, long ago and far, far away, we had a representative by the name of Moses who went up on Mount Sinai and retrieved for us from our God these 10 commandments and the statutes and judgments that came from God that were put into the Ark of the Covenant. We practiced that, you know, for many years. And from time to time we quit. And when we did, we went into national captivity. And when we went back to practicing it, then we got our freedom and our security back. And it's been a kind of a seesaw battle for the last 3,500 years as to whether we would practice the Ten Commandments of our God or whether we would practice the laws of these foreigners and aliens, typically called the Babylonian mystery religion. Most of that 3,500 years has been spent practicing the Babylonian mystery religion. Only two or three times have we actually practiced the Ten Commandments and had the benefits that come from them. From about 1776 to about 1950, we practiced the Ten Commandment model. We kind of jumped the tracks of sanity at about 1933 with the New Deal. Then we jumped the tracks of sanity again about 1954 when we adopted a Tax Reform Act. And then we kind of jumped the tracks of sanity again in 1971 when we abandoned the use of gold in our monetary system and went to a fiat monetary system. Let me show you how we've done this. The first plank, remember, calls for the abolition of property and land and the application of all rent of land to public purposes. Well, Land Use Bill S-268, along with the Environmental Protection Agency rules and the Department of Natural Resources Land Acquisitions and Property Condemnation rules, has now implemented this first plank to the Communist Manifesto here in America. In place of Leviticus 25, verse 23, which called for the land shall not be sold forever, because the land is mine and you're strangers and sojourners with me. The second plank, which calls for a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, is implemented by the Income Tax Act, the 16th Amendment, and codified at Title 26 of the U.S. Code. And in Title 42 of the U.S. Code, Section 301 through 335, that's 11 chapters under the Social Security Act. And it replaced the scriptural injunction that we were told in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, which says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. Now you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now bring you all of the tithes into the storehouse, that herewith, saith the Eternal, there may be meat in my house. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, says the Eternal. And all nations shall call you blessed, because you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. That's Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12. Now we replaced that with the second plank. Now, the third plank to the Communist Manifesto comes into the game. It calls for the abolition of all right of inheritance. Well, all of the states have inheritance tax laws implemented by the marriage license. And it replaces Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17, as it relates to inheritance, where the instruction from God was, if a man has two wives, the one beloved and the other hated, and they've borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he makes his sons to inherit that which he has, that he may not make the son of the firstborn, or the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, because he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. That's Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17. The inheritance law, which is spelled out in the scripture, has been replaced by the inheritance tax of the Communist Manifesto. Now, the fourth plank, which calls for the confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels, is implemented by regional government and absolute federal control over all property, both public and private. But it violates Leviticus chapter 26 in verses 14, 15, and 16, where our Creator told us, "If you will not hearken unto me, and if you will not do all of these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant, violate my contract, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." Now, today, we borrow money from the bank, and we grow our crops. And then we load them on ships and send it over to Russia and China. Then they buy that on credit through the World Bank, and then they don't pay their bills. Now, how do you like that? Now, the fifth plank and the sixth plank, you know, come into play. The centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly was caused by the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, where Congress delegated power to coin money to this international banking cartel, a private consortium of Jewish bankers, and they own it. And it violates Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, which instructs us, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have, that the days, or your days, may be lengthened in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Eternal your God." Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. So we're committing this abomination by dealing with these federal banks, these Federal Reserve banks, like Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and so on. And we do this, and we seem to love it. And then we pray to God and say, "Oh my God, they're foreclosing on our homes and our houses, and they're not employing people, and we're having all of this problem." Notice, and our God told us now. He said, "Now, if you do these things, here's what I'm going to do to you. If you won't hearken unto me, and if you won't do all of these commandments, I'm going to give you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and it's going to consume your eyes. The stranger that's within your gates is going to rise up above you, and then bring you down very low." Now, this sixth plank calls for the centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. It's accomplished by the Federal Communication Commission regulations and Executive Order 10,995, which provides for the takeover of the communication media, the Department of Transportation regulations and Executive Order 10,999, which provides for the takeover of all modes of transportation. You can get that from the Federal Register. Now, our God instructed us in Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. He said, "Now you shall not make any covenants with them, nor with their gods. And they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you to sin against me. And if you serve their gods, it'll surely be a snare unto you." Have you noticed how serving these foreign and alien gods like Tennessee, Florida, California, and the United States has been a snare? Now, the seventh plank calls for, let's see if I can find the seventh, oh, here we go, the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, and the bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Now, the Model Cities Regional Planners Master Plans and Regional Planning was put into operation beginning in 1922, and it's culminated with nearly every city, every county, every state taking on or incorporating these zoning and planning and building ordinances. Now, in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 10, we were instructed, as it relates to the land, you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto you, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. And you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow, neither reap that which grows of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed, because it's the jubilee, and it shall be a holy time unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field, and in the year of this jubilee you shall return every man unto his possession. And if you sell aught unto your neighbor, or buyeth aught of your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy of your neighbor, and according unto the number of years of fruit shall he sell it unto you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, you shall diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits does he sell it unto you. You shall not, therefore, oppress one another, but you shall fear God, because I am the Eternal, your God. Now, we have changed our law, our common law, our biblical law, the law of our God, and we've adopted this Babylonian mystery religion, these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and that seventh plank is an example of it. Now, as it relates to the eighth plank, equal liability of all to labor and the establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture, has been accomplished through the Federal Emergency Public Works Programs. Executive Order 11,000 provides for mobilization of civilians into government work brigades under government supervision. And it is also the basis for Social Security, Title 42, Section 301 through 335. Now, we were instructed by our God, you shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, and whether he be of your brethren or of your strangers that are in the land within your gates. And at his day you shall give him his hire, and neither shall the sun go down upon it because he's poor, and he sets his heart upon it, lest he cry against you unto the Eternal, and it be a sin unto you. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15. Do we pay our hired servants at the end of every day? And do we give him his day's wage? Or do we seize a portion of it and call it income tax and Social Security and sell this man insurance, which is a violation of Exodus 21, verses 28 through 35, called limited liability? Huh? And then finally, this ninth plank, which calls for the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries and the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. It's affected by or accomplished by urban renewal, population control, metro regional planning programs. Now, we were instructed not to do that. Where God told us, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, and he said, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the eternal. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the eternal, and you shall neither sow the field nor prune your vineyard. And that which grows of its own accord of the harvest you shall not reap, and neither shall the grapes of your vine undress, because it's a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, and for your servants, and for your maids, and your hired servants, and for the strangers that sojourn with you, and for your cattle, and all the beasts that in your land shall be, and shall all of the increase thereof be meat. Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7. And we've shifted now from that commandment to the 10 planks. And then the 10th plank calls for free education for all children in public schools, and the abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, and the combination of education with industrial production. Now, we did that with federal aid to education and government-controlled schools. But God warned us. He said, "You only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all that all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons, and then teach them to your sons' sons, especially the day that you stood before the Eternal your God in Horeb, when the Eternal said unto me, 'Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children and their children's children.'" Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. Well, boys and girls, that group of people in Salt Lake City, when we completed these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, were ashamed of themselves. And rightly so. You see, we Americans have abandoned our God and abandoned His law, and we have adopted the Babylonian mystery religion, and we have adopted the Talmudic law of the Babylonians.